That's a rather simplified suggestion of a complex mental process, but you get the idea.
Well, hey, friends, it is so good to see you today, and happy Sunday, or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever day it is. We are thrilled that you're here. My name is Clay Munkinson. I get the honor and the privilege of being one of the pastors here at Next Level, and I just want to say welcome to everybody watching us today. Whether you're here in Charlotte or from somewhere else around the country, we're glad that you took time to be with us today. And let me just say that if you're the kind of person who likes to take notes, my wife is one of those, today's sermon notes can be found by heading over to our website, nextlevelchurch.org/events. Click on the sermon notes button there and you can have everything that we're talking about today. Well, today we're wrapping up our series called Toxic Emotions. And what that means is next week we will kick off a brand new series that we're calling Parables. In that series, we're going to look at the stories that Jesus used to kind of simplify things that we as humans make complicated. Things like how to connect with God's heart and how to connect with each other. And all of that begins next week. But this week, I want to finish up our series by talking about something really serious. I want to talk about this emotion right here. Might be a little bit harder to figure out. This one's not quite as obvious, but this is bitterness. Now, if you've ever been hurt in the past, or you felt betrayed, if you ever felt like an outcast or overlooked, if someone has ever told you one thing and then went and did another, if you're like me, you probably kind of have some deep wounds from that. And maybe worse, that wound came from someone that was a Christian or maybe even a church. And if you've ever gone through anything kind of severe like that, you can find yourself in a really dark place. You can find yourself angry. And like we said last week, anger, if not controlled, can quickly turn into bitterness, because bitterness is the result of unresolved, unhealthy anger. Bitterness is when you begin to have those imaginary conversations, right? Things like, hey, if I see them again, this is what I'm going to say to him. Or if I see her, I'm going to do this. And so we begin to have all of these imaginary conversations, and then we start getting really cynical. Maya Angelou says this, and I love her statement about bitterness. She says, bitterness is like cancer. It eats upon the host, right? It's like a cancer that just begins from the inside and begins to eat us, and that's exactly the way that bitterness works. It grows, and it spreads, and then it invites a whole other series of toxic emotions like jealousy, anger, hatred, disobedience, contempt, gossip, rage. Those are just a few that we can name. And then those thoughts, they begin to creep in. I can't believe that he did that to me. I can't believe I was violated that way. I'm so angry I could just kill them. And we find ourselves thinking some pretty scary thoughts. And if bitterness is in your life, you may be thinking, well, you know, I can manage this. I have it under control. But at some point in our lives, bitterness will consume you and it will destroy everything around you. So, how do you deal with bitterness? That's what we're going to do today. And to get there, we're going to look at what the writer of the book of Hebrews has to say. And for context, the book of Hebrews was more than likely written by a pastor to his, or we could believe it could have been a female pastor as well, so his or her congregation. And now this is a congregation of people who had recently converted from Judaism to Christianity. But now, because of persecution and probably because of the bitterness from all the persecution, they are tempted to leave Christianity and go back to Judaism. It seems that they're bitter with their leaders, they're bitter with the movement of Jesus, maybe even bitter with God himself, because life was a whole lot less complicated when they weren't a follower of Jesus, when they weren't fearful for their lives. So into that context, the writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll jump down and we'll start looking in verse 14. So the writer says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And then he says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And right there, the writer introduces this concept of a bitter root growing up in someone's heart as they wrestle through bitterness. Now, When I lived in Florida, there were these trees that were everywhere. They're called mangrove trees. And you've probably seen them. Let me put a pickup of them in case you haven't, so you know what I'm talking about. There are these trees that grow kind of along the water line, and there's all these raised, exposed roots everywhere, right? And they kind of grow above, and you can see the roots, and they're intertwined with each other. And at first glance, you kind of wonder, how in the world can these trees be healthy? You know, how can they be standing with all the roots up there? But even a strong Florida wind, they can't knock these trees down because the roots are spread out wide and they're entangled with other roots, which allow this tree to be secure in its foundation. And for a lot of us, our hearts are a lot like this because roots provide strength and support for the tree. And if you've ever had to clear out some mangrove trees, you'll find out really quick how embedded these trees are, both to the ground and to each other. It is nearly impossible to uproot these trees. They even survive Category 5 hurricane winds. Why? Because the roots are deep and they're wide and they're interconnected. The same is true of our hearts. We have roots in our hearts. And like any tree, if there's good, clean, nourishing water, then our heart is going to be healthy. But if there's polluted water, that tree is going to be frail and sickly and eventually probably die. And the roots of our hearts are exposed. When they're exposed to something toxic, something like bitterness, at some point in our lives, they're going to become toxic and they begin to die. Our heart dies. And they're going to lead us down a path that we thought we would never, ever go down. So, how do we deal with the toxic bitterness in our lives? To answer this, I want us to look at the book of Ephesians. And as a reminder from last week, I told you in this letter that Paul spends the first half of about theology and beliefs. And then the second half, he gets real practical on how to live out those beliefs. So again, I want to go to the second half of the book and see what Paul has to say about dealing with bitterness in our lives. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 through 32, he says this, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior, and instead, be kind to each other, compassionate, forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you." And what Paul lays out in this passage is kind of a really stark contrast. First, he talks about things that are negative, bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander. Then he mentions some positive things, things like kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. And he's saying that in order to get rid of those negative roots, those things in your life, you have to pursue the positive things. And you have to do this thing, forgiveness. Forgiveness is the key. And I put it in your notes this way. The key for getting rid of bitterness is forgiveness. And I know this is tough. I know forgiveness is tough. And friends, it's not as easy as it seems just in writing, oh, it's all about forgiveness. And oftentimes in church, we just want to hear something that's simple and makes sense. We want to hear about the three-step program and then go home and implement those three steps and just experience change. But sometimes it's just not that easy, and this is one of those times. Sometimes we have to forgive someone who violated us when we were young. We had nothing to do with it. We couldn't control it. And maybe we need to even forgive God in cases like that. Because after all, God, where were you? Where were you when all of that was going on? Maybe we need to forgive someone that we gave our heart to and then they betrayed us and they hurt us deeply. You know that old saying, that saying, forgive and forget? It seems really trite, doesn't it? Because it just seems to miss the depth of the pain that we might be in. You see, forgiveness is really messy. And it's really difficult because many times there are scars that could last for the rest of your life. And to simply forget seems to be saying, well, you can't acknowledge what happened to you because it really doesn't matter what happened to you. But the truth of it is, it does matter what happened to you. And through counseling and prayer and turning to God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can get past those things. It might take a long time, but you can get past those things. And let me just say this, true forgiveness does not mean that you excuse someone's behavior. It just means that we choose to release someone, to let go of holding on to the pain so that the healing process can begin in us. We choose to let God deal with what's done. You're not big enough or strong enough to deal with it anyway. Only God is. Listen to what Jesus has to say about this topic of forgiveness. He says this in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 14. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. So right here, what Jesus is saying is if you forgive others who sin against you, you know, all of those bad things that have happened to you, and we've all had those, and I bet you're thinking of some of those right now. I know I was when I was writing this. But if we forgive them, Jesus says that God will also forgive us. And don't you need forgiveness? I know I do. There have been so many times in my life where I have said things I wish I would have never said. There have been times when I have sensed I can control a person or a situation because I have more power than they do. So I'm just going to use that power over them and I'm going to get what I want. There are times that I've had impure motives and did some things that maybe I shouldn't have done. But thank goodness, Scripture tells us that if I confess to God and I'm really serious about it, that God is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. And I thank God for that because I know what I've done and I know what I'm capable of. And Jesus says, if you want God to forgive you of those things, and aren't we all interested in that, right? I mean, you have to forgive others. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. And I know what it's like to be there, not wanting to forgive somebody and just wanting to just spiral into cynicism and negativity because you're just so angry. You're so bitter. You want the other person to pay. And for you to forgive that person means that you have to be free from what they did to you. And I know it's messy, and I know it's hard. But when you forgive them, the Bible says you release them and you allow forgiveness to be a part of your life. So for instance, maybe you're that negative Ned or that negative Nancy in the office. And it's because someone else, maybe somebody, got a promotion instead of you. And because you were overlooked, you've become so bitter in the office that nobody wants to be around you. And you sit and wonder, why doesn't anybody want to talk to me? It's because you're so negative. You're so bitter. And God is saying, if you want to begin to heal, you got to forgive. Or maybe you're that person and you're older, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and you just feel like, you know what? Life has passed me by. I missed my opportunities. And so you spend your days blaming everybody else for those missed opportunities. You know, it's their fault. I could have been somebody. I was studying to become that thing, and then that person occurred, and I didn't get there. And it's all because of those people or those friends. And if that's you, the only person that you're hurting is you. Because there's people who love you, and they sense the bitterness, and they sense the poison, and they know it's toxic, and therefore they just don't want to be around you. So Jesus says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Then look at the next sentence that Jesus says in verse 15. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Let that kind of sink in for a moment. If you can't forgive others, you're risking something. You're risking the forgiveness of God. Just let that sink in. God is big, and he wants to forgive you. But I think oftentimes he wants us to understand how big his heart is. And if we don't have a heart like his, then we're going to miss out on the great, big forgiveness that he has for you. God wants to know, can I trust you? Just, can I trust you? Do you have some of my heart? And so we have to evaluate, am I ready to forgive someone in that way? You know, I started off this message kind of vaguely talking about being hurt. And there's been a few times in my life that I've been